Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Once in a while, we'll have a theological discussion about He speaks of himself according to his incarnation, that is, according to his having taken on flesh. And this is why he speaks of himself like a king, that is, as a man. Because the Lord, the eternal Word of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, truly took on flesh and lived among us. And it is he himself who speaks to us in the words of this parable, calling himself like a man who is a king. And he speaks of this king as one taking account of his servants. And he calls in one who is brought before him and who owes him 10,000 talents. Without getting into too much detail about how much money this is worth in today's dollars, doesn't really matter. It's a lot of money and the servant can't pay. You could say dollars if you want to. I think most of us would have a hard time repaying $10,000 at the drop of a hat. But he calls him in and the servant owes him 10,000 talents. And he discovers that the servant does not have anything to pay. And so the Lord commands him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he has, so that the debt will be paid. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ we're talking about here. He has already spoken of himself as a king, and now he speaks of himself as doing something which I think all of us would maybe consider to be a bit cruel. At least by our own standards, right? Here's a man who can't pay the debt. How is throwing him in prison and selling his wife and children going to pay the debt? It's not even going to come close. It's going to ruin the man's life. How will it accomplish anything other than some kind of vindictive punishment? Well, we come to understand it more whenever the man throws himself at the Lord's feet and says these words, "Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And the Lord, the King's immediate response, is not to give him an extension of time, which is what was being requested, right? Have patience, give me more time, and I'll pay you everything I owe you. That was the request made. But the King's response is to completely forgive the debt. And it's only in the light of that action that we can understand the request beforehand that the man be thrown into prison and that his wife sold and his children sold and everything that he has sold. So first of all, the Lord, the King, has the power and the authority to do those very things. If he didn't, he would just be lying or bluffing. He has the authority and the power to do those things. What's the point of threatening if you're not going to do them? The point of the threat is to bring the servant to repentance. Is to bring the servant to repentance. Because this is precisely what happens when the servant throws himself down at the Lord's feet and says, "Have patience with me." He's begging for mercy. He has repented himself. He may have squandered all that money that he borrowed from the Lord. He may have used it unwisely. He may have been foolish in one way or another. We don't know. But he asks for patience from the Lord. And so he repents of whatever causes were behind his loss of the money. And he promises to correct his ways. Have patience with me, and I will pay all of it to you. And so the Lord, seeing that the man had been brought to repentance, jettisons the debt. He has no interest in the debt. If he was interested in the debt, and he was moved by the man's entreaty, then he would give him the extension of time that the man requested, and wait for the money to come in. But it is clear that the Lord has no interest in the debt. He doesn't want the money, he wants the servant. He wants the servant to come to repentance. And as the minute he has even an inkling of repentance from that servant, he frankly forgives the debt. And it would be wonderful if the story would end there, wouldn't it? But it goes on. This same servant, having been forgiven so much, departs from the presence of his Lord, and he goes out and he finds a fellow servant. There's no hierarchy here. There's no position of authority. They're equals in their servitude. And he finds this fellow servant who owes him 100 pence. So again, without getting too technical about what that means nowadays, it's almost nothing. Almost nothing. And he seizes him, lays hands on him, takes him by the throat violently, says, "Pay me what you owe me." And the fellow servant falls down at his feet. We just saw this. And beseeches him with these words, "Have patience with me and I will pay thee all." The very same words that this cruel servant had just used to entreat mercy from his Lord. The very same words. They should have pricked him in the heart. He should have heard it. He should have realized what was happening. The very same words are uttered, "Have patience, and I will pay thee all." And then we are told very sadly that he would not. That is, he would not have patience. He would not grant the extension. But he went and had him cast into prison until the debt should be paid. Again, how is throwing the man in prison going to pay the debt? It won't. It's simply an act of punishment. And so when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told the Lord what had happened. And the Lord called that servant back in, and he said to him, these terrifying words, "You wicked servant, I forgave all that debt simply because you asked. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you?" And so the Lord delivers him to the tormentors until he should pay what was owed to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ sums up the parable by indicating the equality he shares with the Father and their co-equal will. "So will my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your hearts do not forgive everyone his brother their trespasses." So the activity of the king in the parable, which represents the Lord Jesus Christ, is equated with the activity of God the Father. So the Lord speaks of himself in these ways to indicate the mystery of the Holy Trinity. But if you look at this parable, it's really an expanded explanation of a prayer that we pray many times a day. In fact, of one tiny little phrase in a prayer which we pray many times a day. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Or some of us are familiar with the phrase, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." You recognize the phrase from the Lord's Prayer, from the prayer of our Father, from the very prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples when they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And he gave them this prayer within which there's contained this tiny phrase, "Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And what we should understand from this, as one of the fathers said, it is not up to God whether or not our sins are forgiven. It is up to us. That same father follows up that quote by saying, "You see how terrible it is." Or maybe better said, how terrifying it is. If we will hold on to grudges, if we will hold on to resentments, and if we will refuse to forgive, we will not only create rupture and breaks in relationships we have with other people, but perhaps more dreadfully and more importantly, we will not receive forgiveness from the Lord God Almighty. Conversely, if we desire to have forgiveness from God, and we should, if we desire to be forgiven for our many, many sins against God, from our many actions, our many words, our many thoughts, which are directly contrary to the will of God, if we desire to be forgiven for all those things, it suddenly becomes very simple. Forgive. Those who have offended us, we forgive. Those who have come to us and asked for our forgiveness, we forgive. Those who have perhaps not asked for our forgiveness, but rather are still offended at us for some reason, we pray for them. And we don't hold grudges or resentments in our heart, but we continually hope for mercy from God for them and for us. But you see, it really comes down to us. Do we desire to be forgiven? Then it is necessary for us to forgive. And the Lord, in His compassion and His mercy, does not equate our activity with His activity. Because the forgiveness that we offer to those around us is tiny. The 100 pence spoken of in the parable, so small in comparison to the forgiveness of the 10,000 talents that we receive from the compassionate and merciful Lord God Almighty. So brothers and sisters, let us never for a moment harbor in our hearts any kind of resentment or vengeance or grudge against those around us. But let us set an example to everyone by running and being quick to forgive, so that we also may receive forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship, together with His Father and the Holy Spirit, for the ages of ages.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.